It's Thursday, the 4th of June, day 75. An epiphany, says the Shorter Oxford Dictionary, is a manifestation, often religious, as in the Catholic feast of the Epiphany on January the 6th, marking the manifestation of the infant Jesus to the Gentiles. In literature, it generally refers to a visionary moment, when a character has a sudden insight or realization that changes his or her understanding of themselves or their comprehension of the world. In characteristic fashion, my hero James Joyce took the idea and used it in a more profane way, starting with a draft of his autobiographical novel Stephen Hero, where Stephen's epiphanies are, as Wikipedia puts it, moments of heightened poetic perception in the trivial aspects of everyday Dublin life, non-religious and non-mystical in nature. As a Joyce fan, I've always been interested in the epiphany idea. After all, it's what drives most of the chapters in Dubliners, his wonderful collection of short stories. And the reason it's been on my mind today is that I had something of an epiphany this morning, in a wholly mundane but nevertheless useful way. It came about during a Zoom meeting, of all things, between a number of my colleagues, some here in Cambridge and others in Australia. It's funny how casually one takes the possibility of such a conversation so readily. It is one of the real boons of digital technology. My colleagues here and I have landed a big research grant for a new Centre for Technology and Democracy, a 5-year research project on the subject that's dearest to my heart and closest to my interests. The grant arrived just before COVID struck, and then the university effectively went into lockdown. So now we have this glorious opportunity to begin work on an important and highly pertinent field, and we're about to start hiring researchers and other staff. But at the moment, everything, including hiring, has to be done online, and at a different pace. And even when the first researchers are appointed, the chances that we will be able to meet face-to-face seem remote, at least for a while. Which is infuriating, given, for example, that we were hoping to set up an ambitious seminar and lecture programme for the 2021 academic year. And how can we do that if people find it impossible to travel? And so everything, including all those talks and seminars, will have to be done online. In thinking this way about it, I was completely influenced by my experience of co-directing a couple of big research projects in recent years. One of the things I'd learned from that experience was that a major research university like Cambridge has astonishing, absolutely astonishing convening power. If you invite people to come, either to speak or as visiting academics, they invariably accept. And if you have, as we had with those two earlier projects, ample funds to pay their travel and other expenses, they come with alacrity. And now we have the funds again, but they can't come. And then it occurred to me that this fact, which initially looked like a bug, as programmers say, might actually be a feature. Of course, physical travel has always had its attractions for many, but it also has a lot of drawbacks. And one of the things the pandemic has done is to force people to engage with online conferencing tools, and they're beginning to get used to them. So maybe if a major research project in Cambridge invites them to give an online talk or seminar, they might actually welcome the invitation. In which case, we could become even more ambitious about the people we would like to invite. In the pre-pandemic days, I remember, one of the difficulties of inviting really big names was that they were the kind of people who are accustomed to business class airfares. And even the University of Cambridge draws the line at those. It's steerage class or swim, basically. And so it suddenly dawned on me that we can start work on planning that lecture and seminar series tomorrow, regardless of the way the pandemic pans out. The technology might be a blessing that outweighs the curse of the virus. Now, as an epiphany, I acknowledge it's no great shakes. Joyce would have looked down his nose at it. But it's the best I can do. After all, I'm slow on the uptake, and I'm grateful for small mercies. And I will be on the phone to Frank Pasquale in Maryland tomorrow.